I'm sure you've heard somewhere in your life that someone has said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. Who told you that? Your mother, exactly. If you can't, baby, if you can't say anything nice, just don't say anything at all, right? Mm-hmm. That's just why people, they look at everybody's baby's beautiful, but you look at a baby, if they're not beautiful, oh, so precious. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Well, today what I want to talk to you about, what I want to say is, while it may be true, it's a good axiom, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. I want to tell you, if you can't tell the truth, don't say anything at all. Now, that's a little challenge for some of us. If you can't tell the truth, don't say anything at all. Now, in addition to that, if God didn't say it, then don't say God said it. If God didn't say it, then don't put words into his mouth. That's important for us. I'll tell you why it's important. Because God will say he's going to do something. And we look forward to that, right? We live in anticipation of that. But how many of you know he doesn't always do it real quick? Yeah, he'll tell you, I'm going to do this thing, right? And you're waiting and you're patient for a while. And then when he doesn't act as quickly as you thought he should, then we have this vacuum, this time, and we end up putting words into God's mouth. We end up saying all these reasons why he hasn't done it yet. Or we think he's changed his mind. And we feel like we've got to speak for God in between time. And I'm asking you, I'm instructing you, I'm requesting that we not do that. Amen?
Amen.
Just because he hasn't done it yet doesn't mean he's not going to do it, because if he said it, he's going to do it. And that means good or bad. If he says, I got a blessing for you, I've got favor for you, I've got, you know, a windfall for you, you can best believe that's coming. But also if he said, unlike a lot of the parents, baby, you're in trouble. You're going to be on a punishment, all right? You're going to be on a timeout. God's not like a lot of us parents. He actually does what he says he's going to do. Now, there's a few times King Hezekiah was able to talk him out of it, okay, and get a little extra time. But I want you to just know today that there will be times when God takes a while before he does what he says he's going to do. And that will leave time for you to have doubts. That will leave time for you to start making stuff up. And it will also leave time for others to come to you, supposedly in the name of the Lord, because you haven't gotten your blessing yet. You still look like God ain't really on your side yet. There will be people that will come to you in the name of the Lord and say, God said this, or this is what you ought to do. And this is why it hasn't come yet. They're gonna come. Anybody ever had those experiences? I know I have. So we're going to learn about this today. Jeremiah was prophesying to the children of Israel, saying, okay, you're going to go into Babylon. Why? Because you were hard-headed. Why? Because you neglected God. Why? Because you neglected tithing. Why? Because you didn't rest the land. Why? Because you worshiped other gods. Why? Because you've been bad. And he said, you're going to be there for how many years? Anybody remember? 70 years. That's right. There's two numbers in the Bible you can remember like that. 70 years in Babylon, 400 years in Egypt. So he says, you're going to be there for 70 years. But what did other folks say? Yeah, exactly. Very good. Those notes work. That's right. Make the pastor feel good. Somebody's listening. Yeah, these other jokers said, oh, no, it's just going to be a couple of years. We'll be right back home. Why? Because God wouldn't do his people like that. God loves me too much to do that. God says those that he loves, he chastens. Don't let somebody come and tell you about God that doesn't fit the Bible. He loves you too much to give you a spanking. He loves you too. He says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Now, I know we can't do that these days, but you can still deal with your children and those who you have charge over in the proper way. Amen?
Amen.
Now, just like Jeremiah was prophesying, at around the same time, he started a little bit later, we had the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel was preaching about the same exact thing as Jeremiah. The difference is Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem at this time. Ezekiel is actually in Babylon. So he knows it's going down. He was in the first group. And he's saying, look, we're going to be here for 70 years. That's what God said. But these prophets that were also in Babylon with Ezekiel, they didn't say, some of them said, oh, a couple of years. But there was a different pushback against Ezekiel's prophecies. They said, you know what? It hasn't happened yet, so it's probably going to happen way down the road. That's what he really meant. Now, God tells you he's going to do something. He hasn't done it quickly yet, right? So if he hasn't done it, well, you know, actually, he meant that for somebody else. That really is not for me. This is what they were saying. This is what they were saying. God did this in stages. There were three different stages to the exile in Babylon. And so after the first stage, there was a pause. That didn't mean God changed his mind. There was just a pause. And so because there was a pause and we get impatient and after a while we just think he's not going to do it, it's easy when there's a pause in your life for people to come in and put their mouth on you and claim it's God. So this is something somebody's going to need because this is going to happen to somebody. It may be happening now or it's happened to you before and you're like, all right, I got something for him next time. Because there will be those pauses. There were three phases, if you will, to this issue of Jerusalem being laid waste and left desolate so that the land could rest all of those Sabbaths. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to be going to the book of Ezekiel. And if you'll go there with me, I would appreciate it. Ezekiel chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. And then we'll go to verses 6 through 10. 1 through 3, and then 6 through 10. And when we're done with that, I might just go over to the book of Revelation. I might just go over to the book of Revelation and talk about the true state of the church. Not what it looks like, not what you'd like it to be, not what the crowds make it look like. Not what all the slick production make it look like, but what does God say about what's really going on with the church? What is it really going down? But the main point that we're going to get at is here is, if God didn't say it, then don't say God said it. God means what he says, and he says what he means, but if he didn't say it, then don't say that he said it. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So let's go to Ezekiel chapter 13. Now, I'm going to just read the last verse of chapter 12 to help us with our context here. And this is God speaking to Ezekiel. Now, God doesn't talk that often, but when it comes to Ezekiel, if you read, he's constantly, the word of the Lord came to me and said, the word of the Lord came to me and said, the word of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean it happened every 5 minutes, okay? But he definitely heard from the Lord. The Lord says, therefore, say, well, I'll even go back one more verse. It's verse 27. Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he, that is Ezekiel, seeth is for many days to come. It's way off into the distance. Why? Because it hasn't happened yet. And you start filling in the blanks. You start making stuff up. It must be for somebody way down the road. He didn't really tell me those things about my calling. He really meant it for my children. I'm just supposed to set it up and then they're going to take it over. I'm making it up. So many days to come, and he prophesieth of times that are afar off, making stuff up. Therefore, verse 28, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. It's time. Ooh, that sounds good. It's time. it's not going to be put off any longer because we be making stuff up. Why? Because we want it to be longer. Mm-hmm. Of course, he said they were going to be captive in Babylon. You think they wanted that? So the prophet who says it's going to be way far off, is that a popular prophet? And the one, yes, that is a popular prophet, because you're talking about captivity in a place you don't want to be. That's a popular, the prophet that said it's just going to be a couple of years, we'll be right back home. Also, popular prophet. The prophet that says, God says 70 years, and here's why, not popular. And that prophet starts to lose credibility when God doesn't come through on his word soon enough. You have that gap. You can look real funny. When you say God told you to do something, you start doing it, and there's this quiescent period. There seems to be this dry period. There's this period where people can question you. Because how can you prove it? There's nothing for you to prove. Only God's credibility is on trial. Amen?
Amen.
So there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. In other words, I'm making it plain and clear. It's time. But the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord. Now we get into our main text, chapter 13. And the word of the Lord came to me, that is to Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel. Now I want you to just think about what this assignment is. This is real personal for me. Prophesy against the prophets. In other words, preacher, I want you to preach against the other preachers. I want you to get out there with your megaphone, and I want you to preach against the other preachers. Can you imagine what kind of assignment that is? I want you to say on my behalf that they're missing it. I want you to say on my behalf that they're off. I want you to say on my behalf some other stuff that we're going to read. That's not good. So a preacher hearing from God, seeing what God sees or seeing it the way God sees it, and asked by God to make it plain and preach against other preachers. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's a tough assignment. And some preachers get that assignment. And ain't no fun assignment. Let me just say that. That's not a fun assignment. That's not something somebody's anxious. Now, if you are anxious to do it, then something's wrong with you. If you get off on that kind of thing, then something's wrong with you. So the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy. So I want you to, if you got prophets in Israel and if they can't say something that God really said, they keep their mouth shut, I'm not asking you to prophesy against them. If they're confident enough in themselves and secure enough in their relationship with God, where if God ain't saying nothing, they're saying nothing, just because they're a prophet don't mean they got to be yapping all the time. I'm not asking you to preach against them. I'm asking you to preach against the ones who are prophesying. And he says, and say thou unto them that prophesy what? Out of their own hearts. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Do some prophets prophesy out of their own hearts? Do some preachers preach sermons that they think you ought to have? Do some preachers preach sermons that they think are going to bring a lot of people? Do some preachers preach sermons that they think they've been paid to preach them, by the way? They've been paid to preach them, and they've been paid to preach something that's going to bring a big offering. So they preach what comes out of their own heart. It's really easy if you have an intellect. It's very easy if you're an orator. It's very easy if you have charisma. It's very easy if you have a lot of personality to write something down and say something that moves people. Very easy. Not so easy. Not so easy to actually go to God time after time after time and find out what God really wants to say. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a whole different ball game to try to to stick to the plan, to stick to God's plan, and otherwise to say nothing at all. So he says they are actually prophesying out of their own hearts, making stuff up. And if anything comes out of our own hearts, it's what we want. It has nothing to do with what God wants. I want it to be over in a couple of years. Anybody going through anything that God told you to go through or that you created for yourself? And he says, all right, then, you want that now? Okay, you're going to pay for it a long time now. I want it over in a hurry, right? So God says, so somebody will come to you and say, girl, let me just tell you, this is what you ought to do. You don't deserve all that. You don't have to wait. This is, you can have this now. Mm-hmm. You know they're going to tell you that, and you know you will eat it up. Come home and say, dear, let me just tell you what they told me. Mm-hmm. You know it's true. Or if it's something you don't want to have happen, and it hasn't happened yet, you know you want to put it off. But we're talking about only saying what God has said and not filling in the gaps. Verse 3. Thus saith the Lord God. What's the next word? Whoa. Now, in the Bible, in the new, when you see the word woe, what does it mean? We talked about this. Ooh, what's coming after that? You better get out of the way. I'm just telling you what God is thinking when the Bible says woe. Woe unto the what? Foolish prophets. That follow what?
Their own spirit.
Mm-hmm. And what?
Have seen nothing.
Uh-huh. So what a prophet is called a seer. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they say that is because a lot of the prophets, they saw visions and then they explained basically what the vision said. So they're called a seer. That's what a prophet is. Now, if you haven't seen anything, that means God hasn't said anything. And so if you're prophesying, where is it coming from?
Spirit.
Coming from your own spirit, having seen. Now, so they didn't just get it wrong. They didn't misunderstand. If I'd say something, if I whisper in the deacon's ear and I said, pass it along, and it gets back over here to Pastor Trina, and it's different. That's human nature. That's a mistake. Okay? You did your best, but you're not perfect. But no, we're talking about God has said nothing to you, but you got something to say. You got something to say because you're a prophet, so you should be saying something, right? Or you've chosen to abuse, take advantage of your position. Because of your position, people will listen to you, and you might even think you're doing a service. You might even think you're helping the people. You might even think you're helping them during their time of trouble by telling them, don't worry, baby, it's going to be over. And every couple of years, you got to tell them again, it's going to be over. It's going to be over. How many churches can you imagine the first week of the year, they say, this is your year. This is your year. They have a nice theme. We're going to have a breakthrough. It's going to be a financial blessing. We're going to get this big new building. Whatever it is. Whatever's wrong with your body, this is the year of healing. This is your year. Every year. Now, how can you pull the wool over people's eye every single year? Let me tell you how. Because they want the wool pulled over. Who doesn't want to hear that? Who doesn't want to hear that this next year is going to be your best year? That means the last year had to not be good, huh? Finally, this is your year. Well, you said last year was my year. At some point, you need to swap that one out for somebody that knows better. This is your year. This is what happens. I took that out of my heart. Well, did I go into my prayer closet in the last week of December and God said, tell the people this is their year? Then if he says that, fine. But if he didn't say that, but I say, you know, the people, they had a tough time this past year, 9/11, whatever it is that happened this past year, they need uplifting. Mm-hmm. There are times when I feel that way about this church. I think, Lord, well, you know, you've been laying it down. And sometimes they look at me crazy like I'm trying to say that, like I'm trying to read their mail, or like I'm trying to be tough on them because I can get intense. They can take it personal. Can't you just lay off just a little bit? I got to say what he has to say. I know what I'm thinking. Oh, Lord, they could use a little bit. You know, it's been about 3-4 weeks in a row. Maybe soften it up a little bit, give them a couple weeks off. I'm here to say what God has to say. Amen? People say a preacher is supposed to be someone who is uplifting, who gives hope. The best hope I can give you is that I hope you follow God, because that's the best path that you can take. Any pain you feel, if you're following God, is only the only pain that he allows you to feel. Amen? Amen. And I know that he loves you despite that pain. Amen. But if you're cruising, but you're out of the will of God, that blissfulness is not going to last all the way to heaven. So my job is to tell you God's truth and nothing else. But that takes more work. It's not as popular. And you don't get to be in control. You know, we're all like being in control. And when you know you can work a crowd if you wanted to, it takes a lot of discipline to just say what God said to say, to simply be an empty vessel, to simply be obedient. Because God knows the bigger picture, and it's his show. Amen? Amen. So woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirits. They haven't seen a thing. But they sure know how to make up something. And they know how to make up what you want to hear. This was happening then, but didn't stop in the New Testament. Timothy was dealing with the same thing. That's why Paul said, worry about your own stuff. Study to show thyself approved. Handle your own business. You get it right. Don't worry about it. I know they've got big old cathedrals, big old crowds over there with them dudes that are saying what people want to hear. But don't you worry about it. You do you. And it hasn't stopped. It hasn't ended today. Let's go on to verse 6. Still talking about those foolish prophets. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying what? The Lord saith. They haven't seen anything that came from God. So all they have is something they made up in some spiritual concoction, or that they made up in their own mind. The Lord saith. And the Lord has not sent them. That doesn't mean they're not prophets, by the way. I want to make this clear. These are prophets, but God did not send you to that person, to that group, to that congregation to tell them anything. Oh, you're a prophet, but you should have been sitting down waiting for a message, waiting to be sent, waiting to be dispatched. But no, they offered you some money. They offered you some accolades. They made you feel important. So you got something to say when you have not been sent and God hasn't said a word. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
So the Lord saith, and the Lord has not sent them. And here's an interesting, and they have made others to hope that they would confirm the word. Now that reads kind of odd. And what people wrestle with is whether or not they are saying here basically that you put that stuff out there as a prophet, and now you have the people hoping that it comes true, now that you said it. And that's true. If you're supposed to go through something for 70 years and I say 2 years, you know you want my prophecy to be real. Amen?
Amen.
And if you're supposed to go through something and I say, it's really going to be a ways off, it really wasn't meant for you. God loves you. You have favor with God. He just wants you to have a great life down here. He just wants you to have your best life, right? Uh-huh. That's the real thing they want you to think. Amen?
Amen.
So it's true that the people wanted these false prophets. Now, they're real prophets, but they're false prophesying at this point. They're prophelying at this point. Okay? But here's the thing that the word was really trying to say. So it's true that the people wanted their words to come true. But what this verse is actually trying to say, that word other doesn't even belong there. It wasn't in the original text. It's really saying that they put that stuff out there and they desperately want it to come true. What this word was actually saying is they tried to speak it into existence. Now, we've said that before, but now you have a biblical example. They tried to, if I say it, then God's got to follow what I just said. So they were the ones hoping. That word other wasn't there. Yes, the people wanted what they said to come true because it was in their favor. But it's talking about the prophets who said stuff that God didn't tell them to say because he never said it and he wasn't going to back it up. They put it out there. Now they are hoping, once they put it out there, that it comes true. Because if anything else happened, then they lose their credibility and they can't make the money that they made off of their prophet lying. Speaking it into existence. God has never told us to do that. But people will get up and tell you, yes, you know, you're snared by the words of your mouth, right? If you read that stuff, actually in context, it's talking about a legal situation. It's talking about actually saying something under oath that isn't true. It's talking about perjury. It wasn't talking about, well, if you say something good, good things will happen. You say something bad, bad things will happen. Come on. That's not what the Bible said. And yet, we'll preach it, we'll teach it, we'll put it out there. These were prophets saying stuff in the name of God that God never told them to say. He never sent them. Now they got to hope it comes true. We do the same thing. Our faith is on trial because we said it. Now it's got to happen. If it doesn't happen, then who's wrong? You or God? So think about the stuff that we say. We decided that this ought to go this way or that way. We decided it ought to happen here instead of there. We decided it should happen now instead of later. We decided it should happen later instead of now. We decided it should happen to them and not to me. We decided it should be this big instead of that big. We decided. And so we put it out there. And then God is supposed to what? God's already said what he's going to say. But we fill in the blanks because of the absence of anything happening at the time. So you've got the floor. And if you have the position, either you're a well-known Christian and people know you to be Christian, they think you got something going on, or you wear a collar, or you got a title, oh, then you can say whatever you want because you've got the dais. And so there's always going to be preachers, prophets that will do this, and they will profit off of it. Why? Because there will always be people in the audience who want to hear it. The truth is not usually followed by a large crowd. But what people want to hear is usually followed by a large crowd. This is never going to change, my people. So, verse 7. Have ye not seen a vain vision? In other words, did you eat? Didn't you? You must have eaten too many beans last night. And have ye not spoken a lying divination? Whereas ye say, the Lord saith, albeit I have not spoken. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, because ye have spoken vanity, emptiness, nothingness. You speak in the words into existence, but they're invisible to God. And seen lies. Therefore, behold, what does it say? So I'm a prophet, I'm a priest, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor. And God is what? Against me. Now, he already said, whoa. Now he's making it really plain. I know you got the dais, I know you have the floor, I know you have the crowds, and yet I am against you. No true prophet or preacher wants to hear God say that. Verse 9, and mine hand shall be upon the prophets that see vanity. So this, my hand, does not mean, you know, son, I'm with you. No, it's like my mother's hand used to be, the backside of her hand, and she was strong. Okay, so my hand, not in a good way, shall be upon the prophets that see vanity and that divine lies. They shall not be, and I want you to pay attention to, now these are real Jews. These are actual called prophets. But look at what God says. They shall not be in the assembly of my people. You're not sat down. You are excommunicated. So we're talking about God. He's not going to just sit, I'm going to whip you. You're going to be on a punishment and forget about it and get all soft. There's a couple examples, but he usually means what he says because he gives you enough rope. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, neither shall they be written in the writing of the house of Israel, neither shall they enter into the land of Israel, meaning when they come back 70 years later, when they were no longer under the Babylons, but they were under the Medo-Persians. And we had Esther, Queen Esther, that helped them out of the land. You remember all that? They had to rebuild that wall first, Nehemiah and all them guys. That sounds, start the picture come together? Build the wall, then build the temple. But they got caught up in building their houses before they built the temple. Mm-hmm. So neither shall they enter into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. Why? Because they're not going to enter. Mm-hmm. My word is going to come true. And then we get to verse 10. And this is the verse that I ultimately wanted to focus on. He says, because they have seduced, meaning they've led astray my people. They've led my people astray, saying, peace. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, peace would equate to prosperity, safety, victory, favor. Oh, this is what they're going to say. Oh, they're saying peace. I said you're in trouble. I said you're on punishment. I said you need to go sit down somewhere. I said you're going to go into exile into Babylon. I said that the land is going to lay desolate. I said you got to get out of here. That's what I said. But they say peace because you want to hear peace. They say prosperity. It's your year. No, this is the year you need to hunker down, you need to eat you some ramen noodles, and you need to pay off your bills. I'm not dropping no money from the sky. You need to get your stuff together. Amen. That's what year it is. But no, peace, prosperity, of course they're going to say that. Of course they're going to say that. You seduce my people, led my people astray by saying peace. Of course God wants peace for you, but what does he tell you? How do he tell you to get it? Of course he wants you to have peace. Peace, and there was no peace. There was no peace to be had. That's not what God said. And one built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Now who understands that? You shouldn't. What he's saying here is he's still talking about these prophets, these false prophets, these prophelying prophets, these real actual prophets, but they're filling in this gap, this empty space by saying whatever it is they want to say, and the people are happy to huddle around them and even pay them to hear the good news. These prophets are building a wall. The image of a wall comes up commonly in the Bible because a city was most protected by a wall. Your first defense is a wall. That's why the city of Jericho was never taken down until Joshua came, because the wall was so strong and so thick it was impenetrable until God came along. So this wall, this is what they're thinking. If you've got a walled city, you've got a safe city. You can sleep. And you can put sentries on top of the wall and nobody can get you because you've got the high ground. That's what he's thinking of. So they build a wall. Peace, safety, prosperity. I got it going on. They build a wall, but what they're not telling you is what they're building the wall with. They're not checking the soil first. They're not digging a trench. They're not pouring a footing, and they're not putting the first blocks into the footing, and they're not using real mortar in between those bricks so that it'll hold. They're not putting rebar in there. That's not what they're doing. They're building a flimsy wall because the wall that's built that has a solid foundation is built on God's truth and only God's truth. Only what God has to say. But you can build a wall. You've seen walls built that way. You walk down the neighborhood and everything's great, and then this one wall is leaning. You've seen it. And anybody that knows anything about building knows exactly why it's leaning. One of those do-it-yourself, or I'm going to make some quick money off of somebody. And you did. They didn't know you should have put rebar in there. They didn't know you should have checked that soil. They didn't know you should have built the trench. They didn't know you should have poured a footing, put the cement down in there, and lay those first blocks on the cement. They didn't know that. So he says this daubing, what it's saying here, is that they built this lousy wall. So the first prophets built the lousy wall. But here's why the people were willing to go along with it. One, they wanted to hear what they wanted to hear. But the other prophets piled on. And what they talk about when he says here in verse 10, seduce the people, peace. No, forgive me. Yeah, they built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. So somebody builds a wall, right? And you look at that wall, and that might be an okay wall. Because when you put mortar in between the bricks, you're going to see some of that mortar. You're going to see it. So you're going to be able to tell that there's mortar there. So it might be strong. You can't tell anymore that there's rebar unless you let a little bit of it stick up the top, right? But once you stucco it or plaster it, you don't know whether it was a good wall or not. It just looks like a good wall. This is what they're talking about. So the first prophet comes along and tells the prophet a lie. The other prophets come along and they all gang up and say, yeah, uh-huh, girl, that's exactly what God said. Yeah, uh-huh, man, that's exactly what God said. Yeah, uh-huh, man, that's exactly what God said. Safety, peace, grace, it's all yours. Favor, God just cares about, he's done it already. He died 2,000 years ago. It's all grace from here, baby. Woo, hallelujah, give me a good band. And a cute message and some, we got it, right? Just come as you are. Come in your jeans and your shorts. God, it's all good. Who wouldn't want that? Beautiful lights, great slick production. A bunch of people all gathering together, saying the same thing, saying what you want to hear, saying what your body, what your flesh needs to hear. That's not God. God's not saying that stuff. He's not saying it's one, builds the wall, and the rest of them slather the nice stuff on the outside. So when you look at the wall, it looks good to you until it's tested. God said they're building those walls, and the other one comes and slathers the stuff on top of it. But I'm going to bring a wind, I'm going to bring hail, and we're going to find out that wall was flimsy in the first place, and you were wrong for following them. This is what God is saying. Now I'm going to dive into real quickly in a little remaining time. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 14. Revelation is the last book in the Bible, in case you didn't know. Easy to find. Ezekiel was a little tougher. For Ezekiel, you got to find Psalms. Everybody knows what Psalms is, and then go forward a little bit into those prophets. So we're talking about, don't say that God said something if he didn't say it. And we're talking about the fact that prophets or preachers, folks that have the dais, folks that have all the slick, everybody's got a book that they can sell. Everybody's got all this slick, you know, production. It's beautiful. They've got the cameras that pan the big stadiums. They all pile on. Let's all get together and say the same stuff that sounds good. It's easy to follow that, but the truth will always be followed by fewer people than the lie. It always has been true. It always will be true. And your flesh wants to follow somebody that says what you want to hear. So John the Revelator is beginning the book of Revelation, and he is the first thing that God said, by the way, the first thing in the book of Revelation that he started, and once he set up the stars and set up who's who, he started telling the churches to get your act together. That's the first thing that he did before you get to all the, you know, what, the moon turning into blood and all that other kind of stuff. He told the churches what they needed to hear. And he gets to the last church, the Church of Laodicea, which is the church that is a type of the church as it will be when the Antichrist comes. Do you believe the Antichrist is coming? Do you believe that this Trump thing had to happen? Yes. Do you believe that he's coming soon? So this last church, what the people would like to think, and said, oh, yeah, you know, the final church is going to be the greatest church at its most, at its best level of development. The ultimate church, where it looks like the whole world is getting slathered with Christianity. That's what they like to say. The best version of church, the Church of Philadelphia. No. When the Antichrist comes, the church is going to think it's got its going on, and it's going to be just as lost as ever. It's going to look just like the world, having very little effect. The concerts will be just as slamming. But look at the life in between the concerts. The production will be just as beautiful as anything on late night TV. But what they're saying isn't necessarily always, I'm not trying to, a full broad brush, but a lot of what they're saying, God ain't saying that. But if they all get together and say it, then it sounds real. It sounds true. And if they have the microphones and the cameras, then that's what people get to see. Even people that come into churches like this, in between time, listen to that kind of stuff. They use that empty space when the preacher ain't saying nothing from Sunday to Sunday, and they listen to that stuff. Some of that stuff, God ain't said a lick of it. We're talking about a preacher prophesying against other preachers, unfortunately. So let's go and read real quick. Verse 14, where he says about the church of Laodicea, this is the church which is the type of the church as it's going to be when the Antichrist comes, which is the church that we are have developed into and are finishing the development of. Slick, beautiful, big, bombastic, awesome, amazing, lots of people seemingly got it going on. Money just flowing. You want to be rich? Be a preacher. They'll teach you how to write the books. You don't even have to read. You don't even have to learn the Bible. All you got to be is a good orator, good looking, good production, tell a few jokes. You always got to have a joke in there. Got to have the joke. Got to have the joke. Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved, the rightly dividing the word of truth. The workman need not be ashamed. He didn't say, I got a book of jokes for you. So you can say that you talked to somebody you ain't never talked to. You can had a conversation with somebody that you ain't never had a conversation with just because the people don't know that you had the conversation. So it's okay to tell them little small white lies. Because the people will, they're engaged. It's all right to engage people and to get them relaxed. So then you can drop some word on them if you're going to drop some word on them. If you're going to drop some word, if you're actually going to drop some word. I watched somebody yesterday on a major network, religious network, spent a half an hour saying absolutely nothing. Just opinion, just stuff. I don't even want to say what it was because then you'll know, you might know who it was. But let me just tell you something though. This is prophetic. I'm sorry about it. But let me tell you what I can see. That person started out right. That person, I can see through their eyes. They've been kidnapped. They've actually been taken in by this group that I'm talking about. And they really don't want to do it, but they feel like they have to do it. And because they've joined the group, they get lots of exposure. Saying nothing. Used to say a little something. Saying absolutely nothing. Secular humanism is what they're peddling. Verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, here's what you write. These things saith the Amen, talking about Jesus, the faithful, the true witness, and the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Nothing gets past the Lord. That thou art neither hot nor cold, or cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. We've covered this before. That doesn't mean he's mad. He's spitting them out. They're lukewarm. So it's like lukewarm water on your stomach. You vomit it involuntarily. God cannot deal with this kind of stuff. He'd like to. If you're cold, he can shake you up, slap you around, and try to get you right. If you're hot, he can use you. He can make a difference in people's lives. Not many will follow you if you're truly hot now. Not many will follow you, but if you're lukewarm, you'll be like the church of Laodicea. I will spew you out of my mouth because thou sayest, I am what? Rich. And increase with goods. We get wealthy off of supposedly God's word and we justify it. Generational worth. Ain't nothing wrong with having something to pass down to your children. Why do they say that? Because you're not just taking care of yourself. You got so much wealth you need to justify it. So you got to justify it to your children and your grandchildren. You need to have that much wealth. Selling yourself. Prostituting God's word when it ain't even most of the time half of his word. I am rich. Increase with goods. This is the church now. And have need of nothing. You look at me, I got everything the world got. I got all the beautiful production. I can fill stadiums. Not everybody who fills stadiums is wayward. But what I'm saying is, we don't have enough people really loving God enough to fill all them stadiums. And knowest not that thou art what? Wretched. You say you're rich. You say you got it going on. He says what? Wretched. These are Jesus' words. It's read in your Bible. And what? Miserable. And what? Poor. You think you're wealthy. But the way God's cash register, you come up nothing. But you look like you got it going on. People say you got it going on. People say compare you to For God's Glory ministry. You must be doing something right. Guess what? You are doing something right because what you were trying to do is fill the seats. Check. You are doing something right in order to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. But masses of people have never been able to tolerate God's truth. Never. Never once. So because you say you're rich, you increase with goods, you have need of nothing. And you don't know that you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked, but you think you're clothed wonderfully. You think you're really seeing, but you're blind. You're seeing nothing. You think you're hearing something. You're hearing nothingness. He says, I counsel thee. I'm advising you to buy from me gold that's real. You've been accepting the fake stuff all along, and it looks good once you plate it. Until it gets tarnished, it looks just as good. I'm suggesting, I'm recommending that you buy some real gold from me. And you know how it's real? It's been tried by the fire. I'm recommending now that you get some real stuff from me that's been tried by the fire, that you mayest be actually rich. And white raiment, not that stuff that you're rocking with, but a white raiment, the robe of righteousness, that thou mayest actually be clothed, because you think you got it going on. I don't see that clothing. That is not me. I didn't say it. I didn't call it to be. So to me, you're naked. You say you're clothed. To me, those seats are empty. Or full of folks that need to hear the truth. Seats filled with empty people. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness, the good thing is if they were shamed, but they're not because they got it going on, so they could tell you, you don't have it going on. You're not doing it right. You must not be doing it right because they're all over here with me, piling on, slathering it, making it look good until it's tested. So thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes. Put some salve on your eyes so you can actually see, so you can get all that crust off that thou mayest see. And what does he say in verse 19? As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As many as I love, I chasten. what they're getting together now and saying is that that's legalism. That God already handled all that stuff on the cross. And all you got to do is just do your thing. Just it's good news. Just celebrate it for the rest of your life. Don't be nitpicking and worrying about trying to do the right thing and you know what you do wrong. We all fall. It's all taken care of. This is the book of Revelation, is it not? The last book in the Bible. What does he say? Those that I love are what? I chasten. Was this after Jesus died? Uh-huh. The blood was already spilled, right? He already died and he was buried and resurrected, right? So it all fits under the same dispensation that we're under, right? So under this dispensation of grace, what did God say? Those that I love, just like any good parent, I chasten. Those that I love, I tell you what you need to hear. Mirror, mirror on the wall. That mirror would not lie to that queen. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And God's not going to lie to us, but many people will. So, prophet, I need you to prophesy against the other prophets because they're not telling what I said. I already said what I said, and I haven't said anything else. Just because it hasn't happened yet, don't be dismayed. Just because it hasn't happened yet, I'm doing it in stages. Just because it hasn't happened yet, don't get discouraged. Just because it hasn't happened yet, don't let some charlatan fill in the blanks. I mean what I say what I mean. I'm going to do what I said I would do.